Welcome to Your Limitless Life broadcast. This is Pastor James Moffitt here in Indio, California, Senior Pastor of Church Unlimited, and we are so glad to be speaking with you today. We're going to wait a little bit. We got a little bit of a late start, and we're going to try to just wait a couple minutes to see if more people will get on. But it, like I said, it is so good to be speaking to you again. I was away, I had the privilege to be away in Israel. Missed a couple of broadcasts, but I just want to say thank you for your faithfulness to check in to the broadcast while we were gone. And I want to say thank you to Brother Sam for filling in and doing such a wonderful job. And that's not the last time that you're going to see him here on that platform. And to Sister Louisa and all those that have just been so faithful to help this broadcast get better and better. And we just, like I said, I want to thank you for sharing the broadcast. And, you know, while I was in Israel, the Lord really touched me mightily. And I've come back more determined than ever to preach the gospel to as many people as God would allow me to do. So I thank you for, again, sharing, watching this broadcast. And I know a lot of you have several hundred friends your Facebook friends with. And that if you would share this broadcast, you're actually doing what Paul instructed Timothy to do. He said, do the work of the evangelist. And so when you share this broadcast to others, some of you may be more shy and don't share your faith maybe as much or just struggle with that. But every time you share this broadcast, you're actually sharing and doing the work of the evangelist, and you're spreading the good news to all those that are your friends, whether or not they're saved or not. And so you get the reward for that. And we just thank God for every person that we get to share the good news with. So again, we thank you for that. And remember, this broadcast is in real time. And so we're on YouTube and Facebook. And when every time you comment or ask a question, we're able to see you in real time. And if you would share any prayer requests that you have, we will definitely pray with you and come into agreement with you for that prayer request. And we're going to see God move mightily on your behalf. Remember, God's not just a prayer hearing God, but he is a prayer answering God, according to 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. While I was in Israel, talking about my trip to Israel, it could probably take up most of the time of this broadcast, but we saw the hand of the Lord mightily in every area that we went to. I spoke briefly about that Sunday morning. We're going to continue to talk more about that on our tomorrow Wednesday night Bible study. But we saw the hand of the Lord move mightily as we were there in each area that we visited. But one of the things I learned about, you may know about this, and I guess this is common knowledge in Israel, but I just have found out about this, and because I did, I just sort of thought it was cool, and I wanted to share this with you. So if you have your Bibles near you, I'd like to look at Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. Genesis chapter 1, and beginning at verse 9. And if you can just let us know you're watching, just say hi and where you're watching from, we would really appreciate that. And if you haven't done so, please share. Genesis chapter 1 and beginning at verse 9. I'm reading this in the New Living Translation. Then God said, let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place so dry ground may appear. And that is what happened. God called the dry ground land and the waters seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came. And that is what happened. The land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants and trees with seed-bearing fruit. These seeds produced plants and trees of the same kind, and God saw that it was good. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the third day. Hey, Sister Abby, God bless you. Thank you for watching. Sister Connie, God bless you. So good to see you guys. If you haven't already, if you could just share the broadcast. So glad that you're watching again with us. We were reading out of Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. And I want you to also notice there the particular subject that is talking about. Obviously, the Bible says talks about continually seed time and harvest. And in this particular day of creation, what the Bible calls the third day, was talking about seed time and harvest going on. But if you can, in there, Sister Connie, Sister Abby, my wife Cheryl, if you can, answer this question on there, those of us that are watching, which day is the third day? Which day is the third day? If you can answer that for me, it'll help us with the subject matter. Which day is the third day in creation? So if I'll try to wait and see if anybody gets this answer. Which day is the third day of creation? Or which day is considered even the third day in Jewish understanding? If someone wants to take a guess, no one's gonna, if you get it wrong, no one's gonna buzz a buzzer or anything like that. I just wanna ask and see if anybody would know which day that is. Which day is considered the third day of creation? That's right, Sister Abby, Tuesday. And Tuesday, so I want you to notice what happened there. When you're reading this this through in Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 9, and we read all the way through till the third day, I want you to notice that out of all the days of creation, there's only one day where God says, and it was good, twice. And that is on the third day, Sunday being the first day, Tuesday, Monday being the first, second day, and Tuesday being the third day. And so Tuesday is the only day out of creation that you'll notice in the Bible that God said it is good twice. And so knowing that, the Jew believes that Tuesday is a day of double blessing. Tuesday is a day of double blessing. And that's why most Jews get married on Tuesday. And so why I thought that was cool is because we do our broadcast on Tuesday. So Tuesday, I'm believing that everybody that is watching, everybody that is going to be watching this broadcast, it's a day of double blessing, that you're going to receive a double blessing from the Lord for watching this broadcast this evening. And so you heard me say that most Jews get married on Tuesday. Now I'm going to ask you this question. What day did Jesus do his first miracle on? Which day did Jesus perform his first miracle on? I'm going to give you a hint here. The Jesus performed his first miracle at a wedding. So which day did Jesus perform his first miracle on? Anybody, any guesses? If you could type in your guess, that would be helpful. As I'm going to turn to that story in John chapter 2. Tuesday, yep, Tuesday. So the first miracle that Jesus performed was at a wedding, remember? Because even the understanding in Jesus' day was Tuesday is the best day to get married in their mindset, because Tuesday was considered a day of double blessing. Amen, Brother Randy, that's right, Tuesday. And so I'm going to read about this miracle, John chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. It says, the next day there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him, they have no more wine. Dear woman, that's not our problem, Jesus replied. My time has not yet come. But his mother told the servants, do whatever he tells you. Standing nearby were six stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, fill the jars with water. And when the jars had been filled, he said, now dip some out and take it to the master of the ceremonies. So the servants followed his instructions. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. A host always serves the best wine first, he said. Then when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you have kept the best until now. This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. No, it was on a Tuesday. So actually, that when you read in the, it says in the New Living Translation, it starts and it says the next day. There's actually an asterisk next to that. And in the Greek, it literally says on the third day, this wedding ceremony took place. But there's some, you know, so in that, I just want to talk to us about some things that are important for us to look at in this particular wedding that Jesus showed up to, and where he performed his first miracle. Number one, it's important for us to see that we should invite God into every area of our life. You'll notice that in that story in John chapter 2, the Bible says Jesus was invited to this wedding. And it's important to realize that God is not just wanting just to be in the so-called spiritual segments of our life, or whatever we would call that, but God wants to be intimately involved in every area of our lives. And it's important there through the story just to see, what if Jesus wasn't there that day? What if Jesus wasn't invited to that wedding? They would have came to this impossible situation and had no remedy. But because they invited Jesus to this marriage, into this marriage, or into this wedding ceremony, that when they found themselves in trouble, they turned to the Lord and he was able to help them. And so please, don't look at your relationship with God like some people do and segment God to maybe a Sunday morning. I have my spiritual side of my life, and then I have my secular side of my life. No, God wants to be invited into every area of our life. If we want every area of our life to be blessed, like we're talking about being double blessed on this Double Blessing Tuesday, then we need to invite Jesus into every area of our life, especially in our marriages. In our workplace, and in our homes, and in the lives of raising our children, and in every area, in our finances. If we want those areas of our lives to be blessed, then we need to remember to invite Jesus into every area of our life, not just Sunday morning, or if you attend church like we should on Wednesday evenings, or even watching now. Don't just invite God into certain segments of your life. Invite him to come into every area of your life. And when you do that, that area of your life, if you'll invite Jesus in, will be blessed. You know, the word salvation, and I'm not going to stop here because if I do, I can get sidetracked here. But the word salvation in the Greek is sozo, S-O-Z-O. It doesn't mean just get saved and to get to heaven. It literally means healing and health and fullness in every area of your life. You may have heard of that scripture that said, where the Bible says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. The word even shalom, which is how they greet each other in When you go to Israel, they'll say shalom. And when you leave one another, they'll say shalom, which means peace. But it means more than just peace. It just means wholeness in every area. That means that you're complete in every area of your life. And so That's what sozo means. That, you know, the psalmist said, I would have fainted unless I had believed that I would have seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Salvation, when we get saved, like we were also talking about this Sunday morning, isn't just getting saved to get us into heaven, even though that would be a wonderful thing. But it also means healing in our life right now. It means wholeness in our life right now. It means that we be prosperous in our life in every area right now because of what Jesus has done for us. When you invite Jesus in to every area of your life, that area that you invite him into will become healed, whole, complete, and prosperous if you'll invite him in. Number two, if one of the things that this story of this wedding on the third day, the double blessing day, shows us is that when you get into trouble, go to Jesus. You know, sometimes when we get in trouble, and you know, maybe we do it out of habit or whatever, but if you get into trouble, we try to, you know, quickly come up with our, in our own mind, how can I fix this? How can I work this out? But my prayer is that we remember who we've invited into every area of our life. And if you do find yourself in trouble in any area of your life, the first response we should do is what Mary did. She didn't go, I don't believe, she went and checked on the reserves. As soon as she found out that they were in trouble, the first thing I believe she did was go to Jesus. And she went to Jesus and said, we're in trouble. I need your help in this area. So my prayer is that we learn through this example on this Double Blessing Tuesday is that if you find yourself in trouble, don't try to figure it out in your own strength or in your own finite, our own limited mind. Don't call the person that you feel has the maybe the hookup in that area like we like to do a lot of times. Well, who do I know that can help me out of this situation? My prayer is that we remember the example of Mary. And if you find yourself in trouble in any area, that our first call should be calling on the name of the Lord. And call on the name of the Lord Jesus specifically, and because he is interested in your everyday situation and he will help you. And that's the third point. God is concerned with what concerns you. You know, a lot of times I've even heard in religious circles where people go, well, you know, God has enough to worry about. He's not so concerned about every area of my life. I disagree. And this is showing in this story that we're talking about, even in this wedding that Jesus went to. He was just invited to come. But he was concerned with what was the concern around him. And he was intimately involved in that situation. He inserted himself into that situation and into that circumstance because it concerned, first of all, I believe it concerned his mother. And it concerned the people that were around him in that wedding. God is concerned about what you're going through. Every intimate detail that you are going through in your life, God is concerned about. And so don't think that, well, you know, God has, like I said, God has enough to deal with without being worried about me and what I'm dealing with. No, he is an involved God and he wants you to go to him. Cast your cares on him, the Bible says, because he cares for you. So go to God whenever it is that you have a concern or a situation, because God is, no matter how little it may seem to you, God is concerned even about the littlest details of our lives. And number four, this is something that Mary shows us. When she goes to Jesus, I want you to there's a couple things here I want you to pay attention to. When Mary goes to Jesus, the first thing she does is when she finds out there's a situation that Jesus is there in the middle of that situation, she goes to him and she says, I need you to move on this situation that these people are dealing with. And Jesus's response is like, Mother, what does this have to do with me? It's not, my time is not yet come. Mary's response did not respond to that, to what Jesus said. She just turned to the attendants and said, whatsoever he tells you to do, do it. You know, Mary knew that Jesus is concerned about the most minute details of our lives. And even though it wasn't a part of his official reason to come, Mary knew that it concerned the Lord. And there's going to be oftentimes, you know, when you go to God concerning things or you find yourself in the middle of a situation or a circumstance, there's always going to be something that tries to come up against it, you know, to try to get you to go, oh, I'm not going to go to the Lord on this or whatever the case may be. There's going to be something there, and not that Jesus did, but the enemy will make sure that you that something will come up to try to discourage you from going to the Lord and asking God to move on your behalf, no matter how small or how great the detail or the situation may be that is trying to come up against your life. But I like what Mary said. She moved in faith to say, well, you know what? God is here. I've invited him to come. He's been invited to come into this area, and we've come into an area of need. We need him to move, and I know that he's going to move. She asked the Lord to get involved, and the Lord did get involved. And then so she turned to the attendants and said, whatever he tells you to do, do exactly what he says. And there's the key. You know, whatever it is, if you can find a word in the middle of what you're going through, if you have scripture on it, then you can bank that God's going to move supernaturally on your behalf. Put God's word on it. And whatever it is that God, you find out that God is saying concerning that situation, don't bring it down to try to figure it out again in your mind and say, well, this and that, and try to work it out. Do whatsoever the Lord tells you to do. Whatever Jesus says do, do that. And it may not make sense to your finite mind. It may not, or when I say finite, just your natural mind. It may not make sense to you in the natural, but God don't always tell you to do things that make sense in the natural in order for the supernatural to break through and to move onto your situation. Whatsoever the Lord is telling you to do, do it. It may, you know, it's like and since we're talking about in Genesis chapter 1, verse 9, and going through and seeing the double blessing and having seed to be involved. You know, when Elijah went to the widow, and the Bible says that she was down to her last. It was in the middle of a famine, and all that she was going through, she just had a little bit of a meal left, and she was going to fix that meal for her and her son, and they were going to die. You know, the man of God says, first fix me a little cake, and then God's going to do something miraculous for you. You know, and we can go into the details that God had already spoken to her before the man of God got there and all of that. But the key is still this: whatsoever God tells you to do, do that. And when you do exactly what God tells you to do, which we're going to read here in a little bit, that's exactly what the word says. Whatsoever God tells you to do, do it, and that you're going to see miracles break through on your behalf. And you're going to see God do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. So it's not going to be just enough. You're going to, every time God moves on your behalf, it's always greater than you could ever ask or think. So when she obeyed the word from the man of God, she made him a cake first, and then she was supernaturally increased because she obeyed and did exactly what God had asked her to do. Now, number five, the third day is blessed because what Jesus did for us. Now, I understand that when Jesus rose again, he rose again and it was on a Sunday morning. But the Bible says he rose again on the third day. And so third day is all the way through the Bible. The number three is very significant. And again, I don't want to go off into rabbit trails or whatever, but because of what Jesus did for us on the third day, which is still a typology here in this story, and I'm going to show this to you. Hallelujah. Because Jesus rose again on the third day, we were more than double blessed. We had no other choice, but Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave for us. And because he died for us, we now live, and we don't just live, we live in abundance. The Bible says in John 10:10, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said that I've come, that I am come, that you may have life, and that more abundantly. So God didn't just die to get us to heaven, he died to give us the God way of life. And so on the third day, we became double blessed. And I'm going to just, I don't, and you may know this or you may not know this, but you know, when Jesus the Bible says he looked over and he noticed and he saw six stone pots. You know, six is the number of man. Six is the number of man. And so when he said, fill those up with water, it was very significant because what Jesus was showing was what he had come to do. And so six being the number of man, he had come to save us. Water being a type of salvation. The Bible says that with joy shall I draw from the wells of my salvation. And if you actually look at the order of things, first you have to get saved. And that is a well. And then as you continually look at the forward progression from salvation, it goes from a well to a river. And so when Jesus said, fill those stone pots with water, it was a typology of us being saved. We were empty, but because of what Jesus did for us on that double blessing day, on that third day, we were filled. Now being able to be saved, we came alive when we received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior because of the work that he accomplished for us on the cross of Calvary. We were filled with water. But guess what? It doesn't end there because that alone is a blessing. But the Lord don't just want to bless us. He wanted to double bless us. And so that water turned from water into wine. And so just like when we get saved, that's not the end. And I pray you understand that today. God has more for you than just to get saved and to go to heaven. But just like you saw through the progressing of the disciples from salvation into the day of Pentecost, there's the new wine of the Holy Ghost. And just like that water, when it was dipped into and it was brought out, see, it comes in, it starts in us and it flows out of us. That's the river flowing. The Bible says, out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living water. And that's what Jesus is showing us here on this double blessing Tuesday at this wedding, is that it started being filled with water, but that water was dipped in and overflowed out of. And as soon as it was dipped in, that water turned to new wine. And that wine was given to the man that was ahead of that feast, and as soon as he tasted that wine, he said, this is the best wine that I have ever tasted. Now, if you know anything about wine, wine only gets better with age. And so that was a supernatural move of God that God did, that it was better than any wine that was ever created. Not only was that, it was a supernatural gift, I believe, a wedding present from the Lord to those that were being married that day. You know how expensive wine is, and especially if it was the best wine. And each of those water pots were 30 gallons of water. So you can imagine how much money that would have been. But look at how good the Lord is, turning water into wine. And new wine is a typology of being filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. And that's what the Lord wants to do for you and for me. And so number six is he's saving the best for last. He's saving the best for last. You know, all the way Peter referenced it in Acts chapter 2, when on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, the Bible said there came a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind. And with all the sounds and everything that was going on, the Bible says there were people from every part of the world that were there that day. And because of the actions of the disciples and the 120 that were in that upper room, they were drunk with new wine, but just not drunk as they supposed. And Peter opened up that door and began to preach the good news unto them. And he said, this is that, from Joel chapter 2, this is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And so this is even yet to come in a greater measure for you and for me. He's saving his best for last. And that is you, and that is me. And he is allowing us to be a part of this last day harvest that is going to come in. You know, this outpouring that is about to hit the world, the Bible says that the knowledge of the glory of God shall fill the earth like the water fills the seas. this outpouring, this revival that's about to hit America, that's about to hit every part, every continent in this world, is going to be something that the world has never seen. God is saving his best for last. You know, every miracle that you read in the Bible from Genesis all the way through Revelation, every miracle that you read about, Daniel and the lions did, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Peter and John on the way to the temple, and they see the lame man there, and they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." And immediately as he grabbed his right hand, he lifted him up and he went walking, leaping, praising God. And they all went together to the temple, and then he leaned upon Peter and John. All those miracles that we celebrate, the mighty miracles that even that Philip, and he was transferred from one place to another after he preached the gospel and baptized the Ethiopian eunuch. And God said, "Now I need you over here." And instantaneously, he was translated into another area. All those things that when Paul, the aprons of Paul that his sweat had got upon, they put upon people and they were instantly healed, and demons were instantly cast out of their body. When Peter shadow just touched those that were set on the roadside, and they were instantly healed of the sickness and the diseases that they had. And we read all the miracles of the Bible and we are in awe. I'm telling you that we have seen nothing yet. God is going to do. "I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered in the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him." And we get to be a part of that. In these last days, before the coming of the Lord approaches, and he's coming really, really soon. And we have to work while it's day, for night is coming when no man can work. And that is why it is so important that we are filled to the overflow with the new wine of the Holy Ghost, that the boldness of God come through us, and that we preach this good news to in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. I cannot tell you how what a privilege it is to be able to speak to you that are watching, and to speak as this platform and as the Lord allows to anybody within earshot that will hear the good news and what Jesus has done for us. What a mighty God we serve, that he didn't leave us to die as we deserved, but he gave himself so that we might have life, and that more abundantly. And so this is the story of this double blessing that God wants to fill us to overflow. He wants us to be blessed. Why? To be a blessing, double blessing. He's going to bless you to overflow. Isaiah 8:18, God wants you and your children to be signs and wonders in the earth. He's going to bless you. Why? To be a blessing. And so many people would say that, religion says, we don't pray for ourselves. No, absolutely. I want to show you in the Word of God why it is important that you ask God to bless you. Yes, ask God to bless other people. Yes, ask God to bless your family members. Yes, and your children and all of that. But there's nothing wrong with asking God to bless you so that you can bless others. And I want to read this in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse, beginning at verse 9. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, beginning at verse 9, it says, "There was a man named Jabez who was more honorable than any of his brothers. His mother named him Jabez because his birth had been so painful. He was the one who prayed to the God of Israel, 'Oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain.' And God granted him his request." See, it doesn't say that God got mad at him for asking, and, "Well, you shouldn't ask for God to bless you." No, the Bible said that God is, that when Jabez prayed that prayer, first of all, you have to know that Jabez, his name was Jabez because he was birthed in pain. And I could sit there a while. There's a lot of us that have come up in a lot of bad situations or circumstances. But Jabez said, there is a God who's able to change my circumstances. You could stay where you are if you want to, but I want you to know that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. And he is a God that doesn't want to bless you. He wants to bless you indeed. He wants to double bless you. And Jabez knew that. He heard that there is a God in heaven who is so good that he will bless you so well that it'll change who you are, and he will change you into what he created you to be from the foundations of the world. Your parents may have named you one thing, but God has a name that he has called you. Just like Peter, God changed Peter's name. God changed Paul's name. God changed Sarah's name. God changed Abraham's name. It doesn't matter what they call you. It matters what God will call you when you call upon his name. He's the God of blessing, and he is waiting. The windows of heaven, he said, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you cannot contain, a double blessing to bless you and to bless those that are around you. But you can't bless anybody if God doesn't first bless you. And this is what Jabez prayed. Go, God, bless me indeed. And that's my prayer for you, for those that are watching right now. Sister Connie, God bless you indeed. Sister Abby, Sister Pat, Sister Cheryl, all those that are watching right now. Our prayer on this Double Blessing Tuesday, where we find out that on Tuesday, God wants to bless you twice as much. Our prayer for you is the prayer of Jabez. May God not just bless you, but bless you indeed and enlarge your territory. And God's not mad when we ask that, because he knows our heart, that when God touches our heart, we now have the heart of God. And because he gave to us, we're going to give to those that he brings into our life and that are in the sphere of our influence. And so I want to read this out of Galatians chapter 3, 28 and 29. God bless you, Mama. I love you so much. Praying for you as well. Prayed for you at the wall, the Western Wall, and in the Garden of Gethsemane. Galatians chapter 3, beginning at verse 28. Galatians chapter 3, beginning at verse 28, and I want to read this here. Hallelujah. It says, there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. And so I want you to understand this again. I don't know why religion wants to continue to try to tell God's people that we are not supposed to be blessed. But everywhere that I read in the Word of God, God is a God of overflowing blessing. And just as Jabez prayed, so should our prayer be even in these days, that as the coming of the Lord approaches, God, let your blessing overflow in my life so that people can see that you are a good, good Father, and that the blessing of Abraham, because of what Christ has done for us, is now promised to me. And so it's very important. It's not only important that you know that God wants to bless you, but once you find out what it is that God does want to bless you, what is those promises? What is the blessing of Abraham? What is the promise of Abraham for my life? Because you can just say, well, I thank God that I have the blessing of Abraham in my life. But what is that? And so I want to read in Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, and I'll close with that. I don't want to keep you very long tonight, but I want you to see and know what the blessing of Abraham is, so that you'll know how to pray. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. Remember now what Mary said. And this is the key that unlocks everything in the kingdom of God. Remember what she told the attendants that were at that wedding on that Tuesday, on that Double Blessing Tuesday. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. And church, and those of us that are watching, look, whatever you do, please, and if you've done this up until now, please don't take what God said and bring it down down to and sacrifice it on the altar of our understanding. What do you mean by that? Take God at his word. Don't bring it down and say, well, you know, like people, and I'll just give you this as an example. Don't take what oftentimes we'll do is that, you know, what God tells you, surely he has taken away all my sicknesses and all my diseases. Don't bring that down and just say, but yeah, you have to realize we still have to be smart and wise and, you know, because, you know, we live in a fallen world. Don't do that. Take God at his word and don't take anything less. Don't bring it down to the natural. Bring your faith level up to the word of God. Because when you believe the Lord and when you do what he says to do, you're going to get God's results. Listen to Deuteronomy 28. If you fully obey the Lord your God, if you do what he says and carefully keep all his commands that I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. If you're watching today, and I don't care what the devil, if he's been lying to you about your children, I want you, please, just do this by faith. Type in, my children are blessed. My children are blessed. So your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and your breadboards will be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do will be blessed. I want you to understand this. Amen. I want you to understand this is that, you know, it says wherever you go and whatever you do will be blessed. The blessing isn't in the place. The blessing is on and in you. Wherever you go becomes blessed. Wherever you, whatever you do becomes blessed because of the blessing that is on your life, because of the double blessing that is on your life. And so it's just like, and I hope you understand what I'm saying. The blessing was on Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, the Bible says in Abraham's time, there was a great famine, but in that famine, Abraham was blessed. What was affecting the rest of the world was not affecting Abraham. The Bible says in the year that there was a great famine, in that same year, in the year of famine, Isaac sowed, and in that year received 100-fold for what he sowed. So you sow in the year of famine, and you'll reap 100-fold. So what affects the rest of the world around you does not affect you if you're a child of God. Wherever you go is blessed. That's what Lot didn't understand when he left Abraham. He was with Abraham so long that he began to think that the blessing was on his life. And when he even looked to the greater land, what looked in the natural to be better, he figured that the land was the area that was blessed. Abraham actually went to the lesser in the natural area that looked to be blessed, but that area became fruitful because of the blessing went to that area. And that's what's on your life. That double blessing, if you'll do what the Lord has told you to do, you will be blessed. And everywhere you go and whatever you do will be blessed. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They will attack you from one direction, but they will scatter from you in seven. Listen to this. Verse 8, the Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord your God will bless you in the land that he is giving you. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, the Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he swore he would do. Then all the nations of the world will see. See? That's why it's important for you and me to be blessed. Because the rest of the world, the Bible even says, you know, and we talked about this Sunday, God has prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemy. The Bible literally says that the enemy will grind their teeth at how good God is for you. And I don't know about you, but I want the devil to grind his teeth all the way to his gums every time he sees how good God is to you and to me. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he's given you. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, the Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he swore that he would do. Then all the nations of the world will see that you are a people claimed by the Lord, and they will stand in awe of you. The Lord will give you prosperity in the land that he swore to your ancestors to give you, blessing you with many children, numerous livestock, and abundant crops. The Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in the heavens and will bless all the work you do. You will lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them. If you listen to these commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today, and if you carefully obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You will always be on top and never at the bottom. Verse 14, you must not turn away from any of the commands I am giving you today, nor follow after other gods and worship them. So it's just like Mary said, is that he said, whatsoever the Lord is telling you to do, do that. If you do that, you're going to see the blessing of the Lord in super abundance on your life, double blessing. Now, I'm going to end with this. You know, some people are still going to say, well, you know, I don't know if you know, all this blessing stuff, but you know, God, look, do you realize that there was a man named Elisha? And when he saw the blessing on the Lord on Elijah's life, that he said, Lord, he said, God, I want double than what that man has. You know, God never gets mad at you for asking big. Matter of fact, he loves it when you ask big because it shows the greater faith that you have, that there is nothing that is impossible to them that believe, and there is nothing impossible to the God that we serve. And so, you know, just like the man, the centurion that said, you don't even need to come. That all you, Lord, just speak the word. The Lord was taken back and he said, I haven't seen such a greater faith in all of Israel. And said instantly at that moment, that when once he heard that, that centurion servant was instantly healed. God loves to be taken back by our faith in what we believe that he can do. You know, when you ask God largely, I believe it makes the Lord smile. I believe the Lord gets happy when he says, that's my son. He believes I could do anything. That's my daughter. She believes I could do anything. And isn't that what the word says? Ephesians 3, 19, 20, and 21 through 21. He will do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. So whenever you ask God, stop asking God for just enough. He's not the God of just enough. He's the God of double blessing. He's going to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you can ask for or think. Ask him big and he's going to exceed the even what you think that he can do, because he is that good of a God. So Elisha said, Lord, give me a double blessing. Bless you, Eliza. God bless you. And so God is going to do. Elisha said, Lord, give me double. God didn't get mad at Elisha for saying that. He gave him exactly what he asked for. You know, you'll have whatsoever you say. If you ask God, you know, like we have, sometimes we have a tendency to do, God, if you'll just get me through this, God, if you'll just do this, don't put a just on it. Know the God that you serve is a God of extravagance, and he's a God of excess, and he's going to do pour out on you more than you can contain. Why? Because he wants to give you that double blessing. He's going to bless you, and he's going to bless those that are around you. Amen. And so, but look what happened to Gehazi. So Gehazi ended up being Elisha's servant. So Elisha was Elijah's servant, asked for double, and he got it because he did the right thing, and he did. And he obeyed the word of the Lord. But with Gehazi went after the wrong things. And he didn't do what the man of God asked him to do. He went after the wrong things. He went after Naaman, and he brought unto himself he got into the things of the world. And when Elisha rejected the gifts from Naaman, he went after the gifts and took them for himself. And Elisha saw it in the spirit and says, I was with you in spirit and I saw that. And so look at this. Elisha, I believe, had the chance, if he would have asked, maybe even not for a double blessing, but maybe for a triple blessing. But after that, Gehazi was cut off. So do what God says to do and he'll bless you big. Don't get in the way and do things the way that the world does and try to work out spiritual concepts because it doesn't work. The spirit and the flesh are always at war with one another. Don't take spiritual concepts and try to work it in you know, in our natural finite mind to make it, you know, work the way we want it to do. Just believe and trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. Amen. So on this Double Blessing Tuesday, I just want to, again, pray that double blessing over each and every one of you. And if you have a prayer request, if you will type it in the comments, we will definitely pray with you. But I want to pray that double blessing on your life even now for those that are watching. So I'm going to ask you to just stretch your hands towards the camera as we pray. Father, we thank You that You are good and Your mercies endure forever. And Father, I thank You for those that are watching even tonight and those that are in this room, those, God, that love You and are doing what thus says the Lord in our lives. We thank You for the open heaven. We thank You, Lord, that You're pouring out a blessing. Hallelujah, that we can't even contain. You're that good. We thank You, Lord, that You're a rewarder of them, God, that are diligently seeking You. And Lord, I thank You now, God, that even as we approach this Christmas season, Lord, You're pouring out a double blessing, a double portion, Lord, on Your people. Lord, exceeding abundant blessing, Lord. And because of that, Lord, all those that are around us will be blessed. And Lord, we just like You said it in Deuteronomy 28, Lord, that the world would see how good You are to us and be in awe. And not be in awe of us, Lord, but be in awe of how good You are to those that are Yours and want to serve a good Father like that and be drawn to You by Your goodness and how good You are to those that are in right relationship with You. And so, God, I just speak and release a supernatural double portion blessing on those, God, on Your people tonight. And we just give You all the praise and glory and honor for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen for healing and direction and amen. Lord, I thank You for my grandmother's healing even now. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. You sent Your word, God, and healed her. By Your stripes, Lord Jesus, she's healed. We thank You, Lord, for Your healing touch. Just like out of Acts chapter 4, Lord Jesus, stretch forth Your healing hand and touch her where she is. I thank You, Lord. From the top of her head, Lord, to the sole of her feet, there's nothing too hard for You. Thank You, Lord, for just strengthening her mind, soul, and body. And we give You all the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Lord, for Eliza, Lord, I pray, God, for healing and direction, Lord. You said the steps of a good man and woman are ordered by God. And Lord, I thank You, Lord, that just like out of the book of Isaiah, they're going to hear a voice from behind them saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. So Lord, I thank You, Lord, that we don't have to be wanderers, but Lord, because we serve You, God, You obviously healing is the children's bread, and You have already walked out our steps before us. You've gone before us to make the crooked path straight. You're our rear guard, our buckler, our exceeding great reward, and You are with us always. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. We are yoked up together with You, and we're walking at Your pace, moving as You are directing us. And so Lord, I thank You that even as You are walking with Eliza, Lord, You're walking them not just into an area, but God, an area of double blessing. And we give You praise and glory for it now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank You for clarity of mind, God, for Randy. That for the washing of the water of the word, the entrance of Your word brings light and revelation, Lord. And Lord, I thank You now, Lord, that You're bringing clarity and to the mind of Randy, Lord, that every lie of the enemy would be just cast down, and Your truth, God, would rule and reign, God, in his heart and in his mind. And we just thank You for it now. Your word never comes back void, God, but it prospers in all that You send it to do. And we give You thanks for it now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Anybody else quickly before we go to just let you go for the evening? But again, we're so thankful, and you can type in more prayer requests if you have them. But I believe with all my heart that the Lord heard our prayer tonight, and He is the God of double blessing. This is a double blessing Tuesday, and and it's just going to continue to be as we do this on Tuesday and every other night that we expand this this broadcast too. But we love you so much, and again, we thank you for your time. We're so honored that you would choose to be with us on this double blessing Tuesday. Analia on her 12th birthday. Lord, we thank you for Analia. God, we thank you that you give special blessings, Lord, on our birthday. We thank you that 12 is a special year. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for blessing this life, Lord, that it's going to be the greatest year of their life. In Jesus' mighty name, that the good hand of the Lord is upon Analia's life. And we thank you, Lord, that above and all, you're drawing them closer to you in the mighty, mighty, unfailing name of Jesus Christ. And we give you all the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. But again, we just thank you for joining us tonight. Again, we're asking you to share this broadcast with as many people as you can. Look, it, just like Paul said, do the work of the evangelist. And when you share, it's getting this good news out. You may not be doing it personally, but just like when you give into a ministry that is winning souls, that you partake in that, and you get the reward for that as well. And so if you'll share this broadcast and to those friends, I know most of you probably have more friends than I do, but it's going to get on Facebook. It'll get out to your Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Because if you share it and then a few of your friends share it, it can go all over the world in just a matter of time. Look what a miracle technology is. And I believe Paul would have used it in his day. I know Jesus would have. And we're using every avenue in these last days to bring in this last day harvest before the coming of the Lord. So we bless you doubly as you tuned in on this double blessing Tuesday. And we pray that you just have a wonderful night. And we will see you soon. And we're going to have our Wednesday evening service. You can tune in on Facebook and catch our live broadcast there as well. So we love you. We say a rich God bless you. Rest well tonight. And we will talk to you, if not sooner, we'll talk to you next Tuesday on our Double Blessing Tuesday. God bless you. And God bless your limitless life in Jesus' name. Bye-bye.